We're talking about how is your appetite? You know, someone once said, and I think we've all heard it said now many times, you are what you eat. Is that right? And so, that's so true, because the Bible puts it this way: as a man thinks in his heart, so is he. And that's true, isn't it? Whatever you think about, you don't need a clairvoyant. You don't need a prophet to tell you your future. Just look inside your thought life, because as a man thinks in his heart, so is he. So your life, my life, is really an outcome of the product of our thoughts. The outer world is determined by the inner world. You with me here? So we've been talking about prayer and fasting. We're talking about spiritual anorexia, spiritual bulimia. We talked about dehydration. We need the Word of God to be in our lives. We talked about, you know, just the whole idea about fasting and bringing your flesh under the lordship and under the leadership of your spirit man. How many are surprised in the fast? How many of you are really a little bit surprised just how much your flesh is demanding to be fed? How many? I just almost this morning just walked up and grabbed a handful of M&Ms. And that's so intuitive. And I didn't realize how intentional I have to be about not eating those things. And so I want to talk to you today about, are you on the milk of the Word of God, or actually have you progressed to the meat of the Word of God? So there's the two pictures. That's a cute baby photo right there. Oh man, I look at that and all I think about is our little grandbaby coming along. And then over there, look at this guy. That looks, I don't know about the rest of you here, but that's not how I eat my steak. Now, Sharon likes her steak well done. How many like your steak well done? Can I see your hands? Okay, really? Why don't I just take off my shoe? And why don't you just eat the leather? It all came from a cow. I mean, if you're going to eat a steak well done, why don't you just eat my shoe? Seriously. I like a steak. Now I've got to put the shoe back on, and I'm going to take one step back from the stage just in case. Praise the Lord. That's called wisdom right there. And but, you know, the truth of the matter is I like it well done. That's what I mean. I like it medium rare. Sharon likes it well done because, you know, all the protein is, you don't want to burn all the protein out of it. You may as well just eat a cardboard box of cereal than have a well done steak. All right, we'll keep moving. Okay, that's not gospel. That's just preferences, and it's called, you know, how's your appetite? Hebrews chapter 5, verse 11. We have much to say about this, but it's hard to make it clear to you because you are no longer trying to understand. Could you imagine the Apostle Paul writing to the Corinthian church, and he's going, I've got a lot more to say, but you're making it hard. Church, you're making it hard. That's what he's saying. There's a lot more I'd like to say to you, but you're making it hard. And it says, because you're no longer trying to understand. In other words, you've given up. You're not even listening. You're not even open. Arms folded. Made up your mind. Already landed this. And you haven't landed it well. And you want more, but you're not able to handle more because you've already landed this. Some of you are just sitting there going, uh-huh. And it says here, in fact, though this time you ought to be teachers, you need someone to teach you. And what is it he's saying? He says, by this time you should have been teachers. You've gotten past kindergarten. You've gotten through elementary. You've gotten through high school. You've spent the time that is necessary. You are old enough and experienced enough that you could actually be teaching. But you still need someone teaching you. And what is it he's saying? The elementary truths of the Word of God. You need milk, not solid food. Anyone who lives on milk, being still an infant, is not acquainted with the teaching about righteousness. We have much more to say about this, Paul said, but you're not able to handle it. You can't handle the truth. Okay? But solid food is for the mature, who by the constant use have trained themselves to distinguish from good and from evil. Here's the Apostle Paul, and he's saying, and what he's actually writing, we have much more to say to you about this. He's responding to what they're saying to him. He's writing a letter based on feedback he's gotten. And the feedback he's getting is, we want more meat being taught. But Paul says, I'd love, open their mouth, and you, as soon as they open their mouth, you put the food in. Okay, that's called spoon-fed. Now, you do that for a baby. But, you know, if you've been around church for 5 years and you're still being spoon-fed, If you're still wanting the milk and Paul's going, I'd love to give you meat, but you're not able, we're still having to do, here comes the choo-choo train. You have me here? And there's a big difference between, I want the word, I want to be taught, I want, don't you know? And Paul's going, I'd love to give you deeper stuff, but until you land this stuff, come on. Like, I'll go there again because I think it's getting better now, but I want to keep going then. I think it is getting better, and I want to say thank you for that, by the way. But just some little things like getting to God's house on time. That's milk. Do you know what I mean? And it is getting better. I want to applaud you for doing it better. Thank you. Come on, give the Lord a hand. I think it is good. And the reason why, to me, it's like milk. It's an indication of the passion. It's an indication of conviction. It's an indication of self-leadership. It's an indication of just a love for the house of God. So to me, that's kind of milk. Well, give us more stuff. Yeah, well, come until you get the milk, it's pretty hard to give you the meat. You hear me here? Just other stuff. But there's a difference between that, a spoon-fed Christian, and a self-feeder. Look at the Bible says in Acts chapter, I think it's 2. Acts chapter 2, verse 42. They devoted themselves. Can we all say that together? They devoted themselves. Who's he writing about? This is Luke in the book of Acts writing about Christians. They, the church, devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship and to the breaking of bread and to prayer. I want you to notice here that the Christians devoted themselves. In other words, they were self-feeders. In other words, they weren't spoon-fed Christians. They, wherever the apostles are, they're there. You hear me here? And they're there. They devoted that. There's something powerful about somebody who gets past being a spoon-fed Christian and determines, I'm going to devote myself. You're not going to have to convince me. You're going to have to motivate me. You're not going to have to market and advertise. You don't have to worry about the weather. You hear me here? You don't have to worry about, is there something better going on? I'm devoting myself to the house of God, to the word of God, to the teaching of God, to fellowship. You don't worry if it's snowing or if it's raining. Here's the thing. A phenomenon takes place every year in this church, I've noticed. The first warm Sunday we have in Wave Church, our attendance is down. It annoys the fool out of me that the first warm day climbing out of winter, everybody decides to go out and miss church. They devoted themselves. If you're still doing that, it's milk Christianity. Come on, somebody say amen. And so here's what he says now. He says, you should be teaching by now. It says in verse 12, in fact, by this time you ought to be teachers, but you need someone to teach you. And look what he says, the elementary things. He goes, we got to teach you all over again. Can you imagine how frustrating this is for the Apostle Paul? He's writing to the Corinthian church, man, you should be teachers by now, but I got to give you the fundamentals all over again. Here we go again. In fact, by this time, it says, we got to teach you all over again, but you need milk, not solid food. Paul's responding to their request of deeper teaching, going, you can't handle the truth. You're still on milk. I'd love to give you more, but you're not there yet. And look what he says. And he goes, and if you live on milk, you'll never grow up. Amen. It'll stunt your physical and spiritual growth. Come on, someone say amen. And it promotes spiritual infancy. Solid food is a mark of maturity and knows the difference between right and wrong. Look at verse 13. Anyone who lives on milk, being still an infant, is not acquainted with the teaching about righteousness. Come on, someone say amen. Look at verse 14. But solid food is for the mature, who by constant use have trained themselves to distinguish good from evil. So when you're on the meat, you know the difference between right and wrong. If you're on the milk, you're just going, you know, why give me food? And you don't know the difference. But when you're on meat, you're able to discern the two. So I started thinking about that. We got a little grandbaby coming, and I'm very excited about that. Little Jackson. Here's a few things I know about babies, just my own experience. And mums, I know you can do so much better than me. I promise you, you are supreme. You are there is nobody better than a mother that knows a baby. How many men can say amen to that? That was a pathetic clap. I'm trying to give a shout out to all the mums. Come on, give a shout out to things happen, trials of various kinds. When it happens, they're not going, God, where are you? That's a milk eater. That's a milk drinker. But a meat eater, when something like that happens, go, this ain't good. It's not what's happening. It's good. But boy, I can't wait to see what God's going to do with this. The Lord is bigger than this. He's up to something. Not everything happens is good, but God will work good in all things. That's the difference between somebody, God, where'd you go? And versus God, I can't wait to see how you're going to show up on this one. Amen. And I started by saying, and I'm closing right now, singers, musicians, come on back. I started by saying, listen to it, even the Apostle Paul, actually, even though he was mature, even though he was highly educated, even though on the road to Damascus, how many know he had a life-changing encounter with Jesus? Come on. He was a religious zealot trying to stamp out Christianity in a zeal for God. But even he had a personal encounter with Jesus, and in that moment, as mature and as educated as he was, he became a new babe in Christ. It was on the road to Damascus where he was breathing out murderous threats. And the Lord speaks to Ananias and says, Ananias, you go pray for him because he's had an encounter with me. He's now a new believer. Now, we read about the Apostle Paul. He wrote 2/3 of the New Testament. The brother is impressive. You with me here? But I want to show you something here, and I hope you see it. It says, then Ananias went to the house and entered it. This is the house where Saul was in. Placing his hands on Saul, he said, Brother Saul, already acknowledged him as a brother in the Lord. Jesus, who appeared to you on the road as you were coming here, has sent me that you may see again and that you might be filled with the Holy Spirit. And immediately something like scales fell from his eyes and he could see again. He got up and was baptized, and after taking some food, he regained his strength. And then it says, Saul spent several days with the disciples in. Come on, Seaboard. Come on, Great Neck. He spent several days in. And at once, everybody say at once. Okay, he's a new believer. He's a new babe. And what's he do? Man, I'm preaching Jesus. And he's preaching to the synagogues that Jesus is the Son of God. All those who heard him were astonished and asked, isn't this the man who raised havoc in Jerusalem among those who call upon this name? And hasn't he come to take them as prisoners to the chief priest? Yet Saul grew more and more powerful and baffled the Jews living in Damascus, proving that Jesus is the Messiah. And after many days had gone by, there was a conspiracy among the Jews to kill him. But Saul learned of their plan. Day and night, they kept a close eye on the city gates in order to kill him. But the followers took him by night and lowered him into a basket through an opening in the wall. And then he came to Jerusalem. So what happened? They had to get rid of him. Paul, you're a problem. Everybody wants to kill you. Get out of Damascus. Go to Jerusalem. Okay, so he goes to Jerusalem. What happens? Look at the Bible says. And he went to Jerusalem. Everybody say, he went to Jerusalem. I'm saying that because I've lost my spot. There we go. And he tried to join the disciples, but they were afraid of him, not believing that he really was a disciple. But Barnabas took him and brought him to the apostles, and he told them how that Saul on his journey had seen the Lord, and the Lord had spoken to him, and how in Damascus he preached fearlessly the name of Jesus. So Saul stayed with them, and he moved about freely in Jerusalem, speaking boldly about the name of the Lord. He talked and he debated with the Hellenistic Jews, but they tried to kill him. And when the believers learned of this, they took him down to Caesarea and sent him off to Tarsus. Does anybody know where Tarsus is? It's his hometown. And so they went, Paul, we love you, but you're doing a whole lot more harm than you're doing good. Everybody's trying to kill you. It ain't working, Paul. Go home. You got to learn how to be a babe. You got more zeal than you do wisdom. Now, if you don't think that's true, look at the very next verse. Then, when's then? When they sent him home. Then the church throughout Judea and Galilee and Samaria enjoyed a time of peace and was strengthened, living in the fear of the Lord and encouraged by the Holy Spirit, and it increased in numbers. The church began to grow when they got rid of him. Come on. Even Paul had to submit to the process of going from milk to meat. 12 years he spent in Tarsus. 12 years later, Barnabas finds him. He's settled down. He's got a bit of wisdom. He's got something to say. He's ate the meat. He's drunk the milk. He's learned how to grow. He's walking. He's not crawling anymore. He's running. Let's bring him back. And that's what Acts 13 is all about. Can I tell you? Don't feel something's wrong with you if you're on the milk. Everybody starts there, but let's not stay there. And today's message was to just give you a bit of a red dot. Where are you? And if you're still on the milk, that's okay, but don't refuse to learn. Let's grow. Let's make sure we're go through that checklist one more. Get this CD. Listen to this message over again. And just ask yourself, am I committed to attending church regularly? Am I involved? Am I fellowshipping? They devoted themselves. Am I reading the Word? Am I in prayer? I mean, this is not a works theology. These are just outcomes and manifestations of inner decisions. Come on, someone say amen. Get past the elementary things and let's go on to be people who are teaching others. In Jesus' name.